Okay, we'll turn it over to Brother Kelly. Report in on how things are going in that land down under.
All right, good evening.
Good evening.
Wonderful to see you. Now, I know, sound just as southern as ever. And so what happens is I live over there and I come back and I'm around my family. And the southern just like soaks in to my speech and everything else. And so it just draws it out. But anyway, it's wonderful to be here tonight. So wonderful to see so many friends. And really, it's just great to be back. And praise the Lord, Pastor Brian and wife are here. And Lord, just what a blessing. And so good to just see so many friends and the post. And it's just wonderful to see each of you. Our kids have grown up. Now, Clarice has probably not grown any since last time, but she's a third year in uni. And Bryce, if you looked at the old prayer card back there, he's a lot taller. In fact, he says that I have a really long neck is the only reason that I'm taller than he is. He points that out regularly. Dad, you just got a big head and a long neck. So anyway, that's just son and dad talk. It's great to be here tonight, and we've been back in the States for about, somebody help me, 3 weeks now, thank you, as of yesterday. And we go back on 5th of February. I must admit, I've been emailing and been chatting and talking to people and staying in touch. So we miss there, but we're glad to be here. So we were here till 5th of February. We'll go back and just get right back into things. And so I'd like to show you a presentation here. It's about 13 minutes. If you have questions, please let me know, and then I'll be talking about some things as well.
From Australia. In a recent survey, Americans were asked where they would like to go on holiday, the number one destination. Guess what the number one place was? Australia. Yes, we have the Outback. We have the Sydney Opera House. We have the Great Barrier Reef, along with snakes that will kill you. We have kangaroos, we have wombats, and lots of adorable animals. Australia is a beautiful place to visit and to live. Becca and I moved to Australia in 2001, and the Lord took us to England for the first year and a half. And in 2003, we moved to Townsville.
Kelly and I this year celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. We have spent most of that time living here in Australia. Our oldest daughter, Clarice, has gone through 2.5 years of university studying to be a teacher, with her specialty wanting to eventually be with special needs children. Our son, Bryce, has just graduated from high school and is planning on getting ready to start university as well.
In June, July, and August, we began a Gospel to Your Neighbor outreach among our church folks. What we did, we invited our church folks to put these brochures, the exchange brochure, in the mailboxes in their neighborhood. The response from the church folks was incredible. The exchange track is a very brief presentation of the gospel, but yet very complete, and gives someone a real foundation for knowing who Christ is and why he came. One person trusted Christ as their Savior, because they read the brochure, and that person is being baptized this weekend. There's about 105,000 homes that you can deliver tracts to, and our folks, though we're not many, we delivered about a quarter of those.
Jesus said that all children should be coming to him. We have two youth groups. We have junior youth group and we have senior youth group. Our junior youth group has anyone from prep to grade 6. And our senior youth group has students that are at the end of grade 6 all through to grade 12. A majority of our kids that come to youth group come from Islander and Indigenous backgrounds. At youth groups, we have games, a Bible story time, and we also have eating time. The kids are obsessed and love the eating time, as it includes all kinds of different snacks. Our two major activities are junior and senior camps, and we also have continuous cricket match. Continuous cricket match is where we play a version of cricket, and we also have some special activities that we do on the side. Anything from getting ice cream, getting bubble tea, or going to the Strand and kicking a ball. The kids love just going out and doing things. My workplace was able to give us some very large Subway footlongs that you can inflate. For this activity, the kids lay down on the ground and had to get the inflatable sub from the start of them to the end of them, only using their hands, and they had to be lying down. It was quite a mission, but it included lots of giggling and lots of, where are your feet?
On Tuesdays and Saturdays, our church collects bread from a local bakery. The bread is then taken to church. People from the community come by and are waiting for us to pick up the bread. Becca and I have made many contacts and established some really good friendships. We've also had several people to come to church because of the ministry. The Saturday bread is collected by the church folks the next day, and they take it home for themselves. They take it to their friends, their neighbors, their work colleagues, and it's just a wonderful testimony and a good way to be a help to people. Once a month, our men gather for our men's meeting. We meet either for a Saturday morning breakfast, which is well attended, or a Wednesday night time from 6 to 8. During that time, of course, we share food, and we also either are studying through a book of the Bible or a Christian book that generally I've found really helpful to my personal life. We also use that time to just hash out iron sharpeneth iron, as the scriptures say. We use that time to talk through different things that are happening in our own lives and get suggestions from each of the people that attend. From time to time, we've done bushwalks, and that's not been well attended so far. But when we did, it was absolutely beautiful, and we'll do that again this coming year. Pray for our men. We have more and more to be attending, and pray that we're able to encourage our men, both single and married men in the church.
Our church also does a breakfast program for an at-risk high school with students who find it challenging to stay in a normal classroom. We provide bread, cereal, fruit, and milk. And some of these students, this is the only meal or one of the only meals that they will have in the day, because they also come from very low socioeconomic families. We have been able to be an example and testimony to these children as their teachers make sure that they understand who is providing it for them, and we are allowed to leave invitations to church functions at the school.
a ministry that we've been involved in since we came to Australia is religious instruction classes. Each week we're able to go into the public schools and teach a 30-minute Bible lesson. When I ask each year during my questionnaire day, how many of you have ever been to church? 90% of the students have never been to church. Each week we share the gospel with them. The religious instruction classes are beneficial to the students for two reasons. First, they're learning the gospel right now. They're understanding more about God and their relationship to Him. They're understanding their need for a Savior. They're understanding that they have sinned, that they need a Savior, and that He loves them. The second positive thing about religious instruction classes is that we're making relationships with these young people now that will last for a long time. To this day, we have students 10, 15 years after we've taught them, who see us in the shops and they say, "Hello, Mr. Gillum. Hello, Mrs. Gillum." And so what a wonderful opportunity religious instruction is.
Through RI, we've also been able to meet some of the children that have come to our youth group. Some of these youth group children have in the past come to our Sunday schools. I teach Sunday school and children's church because we find them important ministries for parents who may only come to one service to keep the children interested on a level that they can understand in the gospel and allowing the parents to be able to listen to the message that is being preached. At the end of each year, at Christmas time, we always have a Christmas program, and many of these children are involved and enjoy taking part, and we are able to get some of their family members to come along with them. We have involved as many of our church members as possible in our church offertories.
Some other church events that we have are Parents Night Off, Trivia Night, Christmas in July, Camp for high school and primary school students.
Once a month, on Wednesday morning, the ladies of the church gather for a morning tea at a local cafe. Usually someone chooses the restaurant and it is led by one of our ladies, Bernadette Wendt. We also, once a month, have a Bible study on the second Wednesday night of every month, where any ladies who are able to come study something that we've already set for the year or for the set of series. We've studied books, we've studied books of the Bible, we've studied different character traits, and we just recently finished studying over the last year and a half or so, the names of God.
While Townsville is a very beautiful place to live, it is also a place of very high youth crime. The headlines often highlight these crimes. Part of the reason we do these ministries is to, number one, help the young people stay off the streets and to help them not become criminals. The second reason is that we truly want to see these young people know Christ as their Savior, to see the change that He can make in their lives, just like He's made in our lives. Pray for our church that more people would want to get involved in ministry. And I realize people minister at home, at work, at school. Please pray that they would want to be involved in the ministry at church as well. Please pray the Lord will send laborers into His harvest. Two young men in our church have expressed interest in being in full-time ministry. Pray that the Lord continues to work in their hearts and speaks to them about the need for full-time ministers.
Please pray for our family, especially our children, as Clarice is finishing up university and Bryce is just beginning.
Please pray for our religious instruction ministry. Government faces a lot of political pressure to terminate the religious instruction program. Please pray that we're able to continue this wonderful ministry. Thank you very much for praying for us, for being a very vital part of our ministry. Thank you for the financial support that you provide as well. We do pray for you too, and we thank you for partnering with us in this gospel ministry.
Okay, just a little bit about the youth crime. If you'd like to see after, Thomas, a Chinese shop owner, sent me a WhatsApp saying that the young people had tried to break into his house over the weekend and tried to steal his car. And because they couldn't, they bashed his window to his shop. And so the youth crime, Clarice, actually, on our way home from youth group, she was held up at almost knife point for what they thought they were going to steal her car. And because it was manual, the car they were after, they got in, saw that it was manual, and they got up and just left. Now, this doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen often. So please pray about that. A couple of other things that I'll mention. The two fellows that I mentioned from the Seychelles, they contacted me in 2021, I think it was, about coming to uni at JCU, asked me if I could do a Bible study with them and if they could come to our church. And I said, absolutely, for sure. And generally, that kind of stuff ends up being nothing. Well, these guys show up the first Sunday in, or the first weekend in February, and come to find out over COVID, they've been reading their Bible, they've trusted the Lord as their Savior, and they've been growing. Now, I did the exchange with them, and then after I knew for sure they were saved, we did the following, but these guys have just been really helpful. One of them, his name is Lennell, he expressed his desire to be in full-time ministry. And so if you would just pray, both of the boys are very helpful along with Clarice and Bryce, and we've got a couple of others that help with senior youth group. And then we've got a couple that help, this couple's from Argentina. And they are in Australia to do for work because there's not much work in Argentina, and their English is not that good, but they have a love for people. He's a real soccer guy, and she's a musician, and but they sit down and it's amazing. Now, I'm not the least bit old, I realize that, but I'm not the least bit young either, like I was. And these guys are very young. They get right down on their level, and they're just really good at talking with them. And he can sit down, and whereas I could never, it's not that I couldn't sit down, it's just that he can get the kids to sit down with them and calm down. And I think to myself, how do you do that, man? Good job. So very, very helpful. And so we're hoping that the Lord will allow them to stay. They're at least here one more year, and we'll see what the Lord does from that. I had originally intended, and I was telling someone that I was originally intending to give my notice on the last Sunday in October that the Lord was moving us on. But the Lord did not give me that peace. Someone has come to Townsville before, started a work, got it going, and got, I think they had like 85 people coming at the time. And they left it, and their mission board said, oh, you got to go somewhere else. You've got that church going. And he didn't have someone to take his spot. And when that happened, as you can imagine, the church just went away to nothing. And so we would like to see, we pray that, I mean, the Townsville's a town of 200,000 people. We could easily, even right now, go to the other side of town and start a church. But the Lord says no for right now. So please pray. We're willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. We want to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. But as of right now, He has not said to move, okay? And so do you have any questions for me? Something I've talked about or not talked about, or something you've heard in the news? Anyone at all? Yes, Pastor Price.
Your kids going to the university.
Yes.
What do you mean by the university?
The university is James Cook University. So they're going to college.
In Australia?
In Australia, yes. And it's only about a mile from our home. And so there's another one or two in town now. But yes, they are. Bryce will end up probably going to Cairns to do dentistry. But Clarice is able to do the education, where JCU is known for its marine biology and sciences. But you can do the education degrees as well. But that's where they go. They go to uni. Australians shorten everything. Becca is Beck, you know, Kel, Kelly, I'm Kel to some people. They just shorten everything. It's just anything else? Any other questions? Let me ask you something then. If you do have a question, please let me know. Or if you want to hear Australians talk, my wife, she's not so much so, she's better than me, but the kids. If you want to talk to real Australian kids, talk to them, okay? As far as my accent goes, those that have been hearing me in the church, they don't even hear my accent. Now, they probably will. They'll say, my goodness, it's so much stronger. What happened? And I'll say, well, I was around my family. Give me some time. I'll get back to normal. But really, they don't even hear it. And those that do hear my accent say, where are you from? And no kidding, I've got this strong accent, not quite this strong, but I've got this strong accent. I've been over there 20-some years, and I've still got the strong accent. It's just part of me. But the Australians don't mind. In fact, it gives me something to talk to them about, a good way to meet people. And so it's really opened some doors like that. Back to what I was going to say. If the Lord called you to be a missionary in Australia, Would you go? If the Lord called your children to be missionaries in Australia, would you let them go? Would you let them go? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are churches to the north of me. I know of two within 2 hours. There are churches further down that their pastors are getting much older and with no one to fill them. Well, Australians should be doing that, and I agree with that. But are we willing to go if that's what the Lord? And I realize the Lord wants us to be missionaries wherever we are. He wants us to be missionaries. But are you willing to go if the Lord calls you? Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Daniel. To the book of Daniel. Now, I have 8:40. Is that what time you guys have? 7:40, isn't it? You guys, 7:40. The book of Daniel. We're going to summarize about six chapters in about 20 minutes. Okay, how do you like that? Six chapters in 20 minutes. In-depth study, too. Six chapters in 20 minutes. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So you've got three, but really the king, when he really thinks about it, there's one that really he wants to be over everything. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the laws of his God." What a good testimony, eh? What a good testimony. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom," is that true? Now you know the story. Is that true? Did all the presidents or all but one? "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. You know, it'd make you feel pretty good. You know, that'd make you feel pretty good. Nobody can pray to anybody but you for the next 30 days. You know, that'd make you feel pretty special, especially King Darius. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Then these assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. What's going through the king's head right now? What have I done? Oh my goodness. I knew that. I knew Daniel wouldn't have signed that. They've tricked me. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." So Daniel is thrown into the den of lions, and the king says, "Daniel, can your God, Can that God deliver you? And then Daniel, after the king didn't sleep all night, and the king says, Daniel, are you there? In the morning, first thing, Daniel says, O king, live forever. I've not done anything wrong. Then verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Tonight, I want to talk to you very briefly about the testimony of drawing a line. A testimony of drawing a line. Now, I want to encourage us to be missionaries, and that's what each of us should be, whether it's in Australia or to our neighbors or to our friends, our family, our workmates, our schoolmates, each one of us, we are to be missionaries wherever the Lord has us. And I reckon this book of Daniel is a wonderful book about being a missionary in a time when not a lot of people have much respect for our God. And if you look back, and we're going to look back in Daniel chapter 1, just a couple of things to get us there. First of all, I want us to talk about drawing the line. And what does that mean? Now, most lines I draw are not straight. But I remember, you remember growing up, you did this thing, I dare you to cross this line. And either you said it or someone else said it, and the thing was, you know, if they cross the line, there's going to be real trouble or whatever was going to happen. Well, the term drawing the line, that it's more, it gives us an idea of being a limit on what one is willing to do or to accept. It's a figurative boundary that someone refuses to cross. It's sort of like saying to refuse to do something because you think it's wrong. And so there are times where we need to draw lines. And the book of Daniel is about the first six chapters takes us, and I'm sure you know the history. The children of Israel have been taken captive, or they're in the process, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with their Jewish names as well, they've been taken captive. Well, these boys and Daniel, they're taken captive. And there's some times that they draw a line throughout chapters 1 through 6. And the book starts off setting up this big picture for us to understand that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thought that he was the winner. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now he got he won the victory, and in fact, it says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and part of the vessels. He also took certain of the children of Israel, in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science. He took some of these, and the king appointed them a daily provision. So the Lord has put these men, these young boys, who are what, 17 at the time? They're really young. First thing I want you to notice is that we have to sometimes draw lines. And these boys, three things, these boys, they grow into men at about chapter 3. And then, as older adults, they have to draw the line. Let's look at the decision that they had to make to draw the line in chapter 1. So the king had appointed them all the same food, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel, at such a young age, with some of the others that were his age, not making that distinction. They said, you know what, we'll just go along with what the king says. We'll just do what he says. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, no, we're not going to. You go to chapter 3, and by the way, in between chapters 2 and 3, there's like 20 years that go by. We usually read these first six chapters as if they're little boys all their lives. And then finally in chapter 6, voila! Daniel's. I mean, yeah, Daniel's really, really old. Well, by chapter 3, most commentators say, and even in my usher, the usher, he says that 20 years have gone by. Here he is, here these boys are, they're in their late 30s, early 40s now. This is 20 years since Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and then he decides to make this great big image. He forgets how great God is. In Australia, a lot of people have forgotten how great God is. In America, I think a lot of people are forgetting how great God is. Well, notice in verses 17 and 18, when they were supposed to have bowed down, they said, go back to verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In Daniel chapter 6, again, Daniel drew a line. I want you to notice the decision to draw the line and then the discernment of drawing the line. Notice in Daniel chapter 1, what were those boys willing to do when, and I realize Daniel's actually known by his name most of the book, but did the boys say, you shall not call me Abednego. You shall not teach me the learning of the Chaldeans. What was that? Most likely, among other things, astrology. There were things that they were willing to do. They were willing to work in the workplace. They were willing to have a government job, even for working for an unsaved man. But there were those differences. There were those things that they said, you know what? Now, if any of those things would have been wrong, now, you know, if Nebuchadnezzar would have said, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you got to go beat people up. They'd probably said, no. But none of those things in themselves are sinful. Learning, you know, there's things. In the public school, at least we're, In Australia, you have to learn about evolution. And it's not wrong to learn about evolution, but understanding it through a Christian mind, understanding it through Christian eyes, well, that's what they think. This is what God says. They made the decision. They had discernment. They were willing to learn things. You remember Josiah in 2 Chronicles 35? Sometimes we're willing to draw the line. Too much so. We're saying, yeah, I'm looking for a fight. I'm looking for a fight. I want to fight. I want to fight. I want to fight. And that's what Josiah was. In 2 Chronicles 35, the king of Egypt came up and he wasn't even going to battle with Josiah. He was there to battle with someone else, but he was going through Josiah's land. And Josiah, you better not go through my land. I'm going to come get you. And the king even said, I'm going to kill you if you go back home. Just go back home. Let me go through. And guess what it ended up costing Josiah? His life. So it takes discernment to know what things we need to draw the line about. What about the difficulty of drawing the line? Martin Luther, when he wrote his 95 Theses, 506 years ago or so? He originally really didn't want to leave the church. He was more just trying to help and say, you know what, we need to get these things right. We need to get these things right. But it ended up costing him a lot. And if you look at these men in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 6, these things could cost these men. It could cost them their lives. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes you have to stand up. Look at verse 35. These are all women doing things by faith. By faith, women receive their dead raised to life again. That's what we'd like, to have our loved ones raised from the dead. But others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Sometimes, what's the difficulty? Well, at work, when everyone else has taken a longer break than they should. Now, I remember working at one place. They didn't really mind how long you took for a break, as long as you got your work done. But I know some places they're very stickler. One job I worked, 10 minutes, man. You go in, you get your 10 minutes, and you get out. Well, some would stay 15 and 20 minutes. That was, you know what? For a Christian to do that, that's bad testimony. And to go back to work after the 10 minutes, some would say, well, you know, they're not going to say anything. It doesn't matter. You can be made fun of. You can be the different one. Daniel chapter 3, can you imagine everybody else in the valley of Dura bowing? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were just standing there talking about being different. Sometimes it's difficult, but why do it? Why do it? In chapter 1, why did they not take the food? Well, it was more than just that food thing was more. You look in the book of Deuteronomy, that really did identify them a lot as being God's people. God had said, these are some of the things I want you to do as God's people. It identified them as His people. And you look at chapter 3, we're not going to worship that idol, even if it looks like you, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to do that. And I'm certainly not going to not pray. What's the drive for drawing the line? Well, first of all, obedience. Alistair Begg said this: they obeyed God because they must obey God, not because it worked out well for them. And sometimes we've got to be really different. We've got to be willing to be different. You know, if someone at work or at school or your neighbors are telling, laughing at dirty jokes, you know, it'd be really easy just to be part of the group. But better yet, just to, I'll talk to you guys later. Why aren't you staying? Well, I'm a Christian. I just don't really need to be talking about it. And you know what? That's the thing. They were, God is to be worshiped. God, it's the right thing to do. And then God wants us to be a testimony. He wants us to stand and not just make it all about ourselves. These guys, they continually were pointing. They were continually pointing to the Lord. Yeah, we're not going to do this, but it's because we serve the real God. So obedience, and then to be a light. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a really thick head. Took lots and lots and lots and lots of times for the Lord to get his attention. Daniel chapter 4 is about that, and the Lord really shaking Nebuchadnezzar. But it was partly due to his saying, can I give you my testimony in Daniel chapter 4? Those first couple of verses say, I want to give you my testimony about what the Lord's done. And part of what got him ready for that is those first few chapters. So may I just mention that your willingness to draw the line over seemingly things that, you know, you do every day. You know, the things you say, the things that we do. You know, when the boss swears at you, I'm getting ready to be loud, okay? So I'm just preparing you. When the boss yells at you, you're that one that doesn't yell back. Well, why didn't you yell back? They, you know, and that's what we feel like doing, just giving it right back. Well, we serve Him. It's not about us. And I think here in the book of Daniel, you see young people being faithful to God, drawing a line, saying, you know what? Not about everything, but those things that were wrong, those things that they knew they needed to do, they said, you know what? I've got to stand. Here I stand. I can do no other. Middle life, 30s, early 40s, got to do the right thing. Make a stand. Old man, elderly, must do the right thing. Why? Because God is worthy of our obedience. And then secondly, we're missionaries. We're lights in a dark place. Pastor Brian.
Thank you, Brother Kelly, for that message tonight. Just it's challenged our hearts to have the right lines in the right places and to stay there. And appreciate that, reminding us of that progression. Hadn't really thought of it till tonight, but yes, that progression in life. And we've got all of us somewhere in that, in one of those categories. Either we're the young persons, the middle-aged person, or the older persons. And do we have those lines in our lives that we're willing to stand and not cross over? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had tonight. We thank you for the presentation of the Field of Australia and what you have been doing there in Townsville. Pray that you would bless the Gillams as they look forward to going back in February. Keep them safe as they are traveling around on this time of furlough. Thank you for the message from Daniel and reminders of our lives being lived for you. It's not about us, it's about you. And we thank you for that, and I pray that we would take those truths home and, Father, live accordingly to hold those lines. They are important, and they bring honor and glory to you and to you alone. And we thank you for that. Pray that you would watch over us as we go our separate ways tonight. May we go in thy strength, and Father, may you use us along the way. We look forward to that time when you gather us together again on Sunday, Father. And we trust to that time to be blessed and a great enjoyment and encouragement and a strength for us. Thank you for the time tonight, Father, to strengthen us here in the middle of the week. Dismiss us in thy care, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have the Gillans go back to their table. And if you didn't get a chance to talk to them beforehand, you've got some time now. But you are dismissed.